Welcome back to Ram Nation Radio on AM 1550, KDCO, FM 94.1 in Denver, 96.9 in Boulder. I am your host, Joel Cantalamessa. This segment's brought to you by Ed Bozar Chevrolet, Colorado's number one Chevy dealer. Former CSU running back Kyle Bell is the general manager there in Aurora, and he's been helping Ram fans get great new vehicles at fantastic prices. Plus, if you mention you heard his ad on Ram Nation Radio, he'll give you an additional $500 off the sale price. So head into Ed Bozar Chevrolet at 2001 South Havana Street in Aurora, and he'll hook you up. Great stuff with Daniel Bejarano last segment. Really appreciate him coming on in a very busy week, coming off of a game, preparing for a big game tomorrow night. And of course, he's got some schoolwork to fit in there. But I've got another great guest coming up, my guy Matt Stevens from the Fort Collins, Coloradoan. Matt, thanks for coming on tonight, buddy.
Yeah, no problem. How's it going, Joel?
It's going well. I'm sure, as I did, you watched the Nevada game on TV the other night. What were some of the takeaways you had from that game?
I think it was just pure hustle CSU showed on defense, especially early in the game. I mean, they had two steals, I think, in the first couple minutes. They were just ball hawks out there. And granted, it's Nevada, and, you know, they should. They'd be in by more than 50 at Moby Arena. And that was without J.J. Avila. But, you know, it's senior night, and granted, they have a big crowd for the Wolfpack to play in front of there at Waller Event Center. But, you know, you just look at, I think, Nevada was wholesome fired up, wanting to get a little bit of an upset, and just the way CSU came out and played, especially on the defensive end, was just phenomenal. If they can use that kind of determination, that's really going to help them at the Spectrum on Saturday against Utah State and then heading into the Mountain West Tournament where they hope to make a run.
Yeah, how does CSU match up against Utah State? That's a team that's won six straight games before losing in Laramie on Wednesday night. It's always tough to win in Logan. Stu Morrill's last game. What are your thoughts?
Really, what I've always felt like this season, how well Utah State plays is how well Jalen Moore is playing that night. Him and David Collette, those two are really their 1-2 punch, and Collette's been a great addition this season. I think, you know, going to the Spectrum is never easy. I mean, they've won some tough games, or Utah State's won some tough games there this year. Obviously, TSU just, you know, was awful there last year, and couldn't beat the Aggies at home. Then, you know, couldn't beat them in the Mountain West tournament, blowing that big lead. Granted, this is a much different Utah State team, and they lost six guys off that roster from last year. Many of them weren't graduation; they just left the program. And that's where I've really been impressed by the Aggies this season. Because yes, Stu Morrill. What I want to say is, Stu Morrill, had it not been for Boise State playing so well, I would give Mountain West Coach of the Year to Stu Morrill for what he's done with that team. Granted, they're probably an NIT bound. You don't usually think of that title to a team that attends the NIT, but he's done a phenomenal job with that team.
Matt, I read your piece with Shelby Mast a couple days ago, and he seems convinced the team is in, or at least has a really good shot. He projects them as a 10 seed. Do you think the Rams are in jeopardy of not making the tournament, even if they lose to Utah State tomorrow?
If they lose to Utah, it's tough, because it comes down to that Mountain West tournament, too. If they lost to Nevada, then no, I think CC was in big trouble. Even though ESPN was saying, I was reading their ticker, and they said, TSU, regardless of outcome against Nevada, remains in last four in. And that was just a joke, especially if TSU won, and now all of a sudden they're in Lenardi's first four with a bye. So, you know, I think I want to see what they can do against if they lose to Utah State and they win in the first round of the Mountain West Tournament, I think they have a pretty good shot, win two games, that they're safe. But if they beat Utah State, I think it would be very, very, very hard to keep them out of that tournament. They'd be the 3 seed and most likely playing Fresno State in that first round game. So if they were to lose to Fresno State, that'd be another bad loss. But no, I just don't see that happening. If CSU can get past Utah State, you got to feel pretty good.
Yeah, it's a team that's got 25 wins and a top 30 RPI, which, as Shelby pointed out, no team in the last four seasons has been omitted with a 30 or better RPI. I just find it really hard to believe that they are this much on the bubble. I guess I don't understand. And I know that the Mount West is not looked fondly upon this year. They're, what, number 12 RPI in total out of all the conferences. But I'm finding it hard to believe at 25 wins and a top 30 RPI that they are really at the edge here.
Yeah, and that's the tough part with this right now, is because should CSU beat Utah State, they'll probably stay top 30. and you play Fresno State in the NCAA, or excuse me, in the Mountain West tournament, then you're probably going to drop a little bit regardless of the outcome, just because Fresno State's low RPI. But you know, if they lose, they're going to fall the top 30. Boise State won at San Jose last night and fell to what, 36 in the RPI from 28. So it's such a fluid situation right now, and it really just needs to cheer against those other bubble teams, especially with the ones from the bigger conferences like Purdue. And I know American Conference isn't huge, but your Cincinnati's and your Tulsa's and all those guys, and just to kind of help give the Rams a little bit more of a cushion.
So who would you hate to face most in the first round of the Mountain West tournament? I know you said, and I've looked at this too, and there's just so much that can happen depending on who wins and loses this weekend. But I would take Fresno State, obviously, in a heartbeat. There's a scenario where Wyoming could actually sneak into that spot that CSU would have to play, right? So that is a team that I would not want to play.
See, I think in the first round, you'd rather play Fresno State, but if CSU... I mean, you don't want them to lose to Utah State and then end up as a, you know, in that 4 or 5 game. However, if CSU could get out of that 4 or 5 game, I think that's the better part of the bracket to be in. Most likely playing Boise State in that semifinal round. I just think CSU over. I know they blew that lead up there in Boise at the Taco Bell Arena, but I think they match up overall better with Boise State than they would San Diego State in the semifinals, which is what it would probably come down to if you get the 3 seed. So, you know, in the first round, yeah, it would be much better to play Fresno State. That's who you want to play. And, you know, also, there's a good chance, and it's crazy to say, but those playing games with Mountain West tournament this year, it's going to be UNLV and New Mexico are locked into those playing games, not playing each other, obviously. You got to expect both of them to get out, and UNLV could play San Diego State in the would be, I guess, the quarterfinals. And that would be an interesting matchup. On UNLV's home court, they can potentially knock out the Aztecs early. So this is going to be a really, really interesting Mountain West tournament, especially with New Mexico and UNLV playing in those playing games against either Air Force or Nevada.
Yeah, that UNLV team would scare me too. And San Diego State had a big win there a couple nights ago. To go on the road and win at UNLV, but that was a tough game, and they're just always tough to beat at Thomas and Mack for sure. What do you think about this team's makeup? Do you think they can do some damage in the NCAA tournament if they get there?
I think as long as they stay out of the 8-9, I know some CSU fans have asked me for saying that before, but as long as CSU can stay out of the 8-9, I could see them making a potential Sweet 16 run. In an 11 seed knockout of 6 in the first round, I think they have more than capable of taking out 3 in the second round, reach the Sweet 16. Really, CSU is a team built for the postseason. I mean, I was up there in Alaska watching them play in that Great Alaska Shootout, and I know that wasn't the same quality of opponent as they're going to meet in the NCAAs or even the Mountain West tournament, but on neutral fourth, I've really been impressed by Colorado State this year, just coming out early, hitting a couple early threes, setting the pace, getting opponents really off guard, getting them off their balance. That's what CSU really good at, and there's so much better leadership on this group that they get rattled on the road a lot, especially against a good opponent. At home, they're great. And on neutral court, I really, really like what I've seen from CSU this year. And if they could just get, you know, that I really think about 11 seed is a dream seed for CSU, or even Boise State on the other hand. If they get in that, I think both schools have a good shot to make some damage in the NCAA tournament.
Matt Stevens, the reporter and columnist from the Fort Collins, Colorado, is our guest. Spring football is just 4 days away. Next Tuesday is the first practice. Let's talk a little bit about things that to watch this spring. I know the offensive and defensive lines return a lot of experience. There's the secondary's got a lot of experience. You've got some great wide receivers, including Rashard Higgins. You got some great tight ends. There's not a whole lot of holes this year. I know you did a story on this a couple days ago. But quarterback is one of the main, the huge holes. Grayson going to the NFL. Who is, in your mind, the front runner going into spring to be kind of the number one in the depth chart? Would it be Nick Stevens, or are they is all kind of a blank slate with Coleman Key and maybe even the freshman?
No, I think Nick Stevens is definitely the front runner. He has the playing experience, you know, at the D1 level. He can really, I mean, he's a dual threat guy if they want to use him that way, kind of like Garrett was. You know, they just, that's not how McElwain and I guess really Fairchild before him liked to use him as a quarterback. Yeah, I think Nick Stevens is the front runner right now. A lot can happen spring. I know Mike Bobo's gone. He's used two quarterbacks in a season before. He's not scared the platoon guy. He's gone 3 weeks into fall camp not knowing who his starter is. But right now, I mean, I think Nick has shown that he's a better overall package. Still yet to see a lot from Coleman Key. I saw him play in high school and was fairly impressed. Obviously, that's a small sample size, and he has a big arm. Working with Dave Baldwin last year, I think, was a big help for him. That's gone. We got to see what the new situation is like for how these players respond to the assistant coaches. But right now, say it's Nick Stevens. I think JC Robles will be fine, but I don't think he's a guy who's going to be playing football for the Rams or playing on game days for the Rams this year.
And before we look at a couple of these other positions, is it as surreal to you as it is me watching Grayson's ascent over the last year? I mean, this was a guy last year, albeit early in the year, some fans weren't even sure should be the starter. And now he's the number three rated quarterback, supposedly, in the NFL draft coming up. Goes to the combine. He's now going to the John Gruden Passing Academy. I'm not sure I would have pegged this kind of success heading into his senior year. But he's come a long way through that great senior year that he had and now positioning himself for the NFL.
Absolutely. And I recall him in the preseason last year saying, you know what, he's not going to be a Heisman finalist, but, you know, why not make a Heisman campaign for this guy in the preseason like Utah State did with the Chucky Keaton? Just get this guy's name out there. And, he wasn't even for the Davey O'Brien. He wasn't a finalist for that either. Yet here he is, like you said, number three, most likely behind Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston. That's huge. He's done such a great job. He's on track to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. That's the great part about that. If you're the third quarterback taken in the draft, you're probably somewhere shortly down the line, you're going to be a starter in the NFL. That's huge.
How about running back? I mean, no D. Hart. You got Treyus Jarrells. Jason Oden didn't carry a lot last year. Deron Thompson is going to probably get a good shot. And then how about the transfer from Purdue? Who are you looking at there? Obviously, Treyus is going to be able to carry a lot of the load, but who else might step up?
I really liked what I saw from Jason Oden when he was able to play last year. I mean, he did average more yards per carry than Treyus Jarrells. Jarrells was similar build as D. Hart, but was definitely more a up-the-gut type back. He was better north-south, and I thought than east-west, like D. Hart was so good at. I think if you can just tandem Treyus and Jason Oden, that's a pretty strong combination for CSU, and still start to get Deron Thompson in the mix. He didn't, only average like 3.6 yards per carry last season, I want to say, Deron, but he was also playing behind really the backup offensive line that doesn't have the same push. He's the fastest of the bunch, and I want to see what he can do behind a really strong offensive line in crunch time.
They got a couple spots to fill at linebacker. Aaron Davis is leaving. Max Morgan is gone. Jared Roberts is probably going to the NFL as well. Need a center. So we can talk more about this as the spring goes on. We only have a couple minutes left. I wanted to ask you, the football schedule came out this week, and it looks like the toughest schedule CSU's had in a few years. Back-to-back games against Power 5 schools. I know CU hasn't been that good, but it's always a tough rivalry game. You follow that up with a road trip to San Antonio, which I think that's a pitfall game. You go to Utah State. You get that tough three home game stretch with Boise State and Air Force and San Diego State. What were your thoughts when you saw the schedule come out?
Well, this is the tougher conference schedule when you have to play Fresno State and San Diego State versus, from the other half of the conference, rather than playing San Jose or Hawaii. So that's just going to happen every 3 years, essentially. But I didn't think it was a bad schedule. I mean, we knew the opponents. It was just a matter of where those games would be played. And we knew Boise State was going to be here. We knew CSU was going to go the road to try to take on Utah State. So really, I don't mind it that much. I mean, I'm excited to see CSU get Boise State at home and try to finally beat those guys. I mean, CSU fairly close 2 years ago. Last season, not so much. I don't care what Jim Acklin said. CSU didn't have them right there. Maybe early on until D. Hart fumbled, but CSU, I want to see them beat Boise State. I'll just say it. I want to see CSU beat Boise State. And I think this could be the year. I'm really, I think, like a lot of people, excited for Mike Bobo. I'm still skeptical. He wasn't a sexy hire like Jim McElwain was, but maybe that's a good thing for these guys. And you know what? It's going to be a tough schedule, but for a new head coach, let's see what he can do.
Well, Matt, it's been good catching up with you as always. Love to do this again, possibly towards the end of the month here and wrap up some spring ball discussion. Thanks for being with me. I also want to thank Daniel Bejarano. Thanks to everybody for listening. You've been listening to Ram Nation Radio on Mile High Sports. Have a great Friday night. Go Rams.